All right, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. A few moments in silent prayer. Give us the opportunity to make grace recovery, if necessary, from the intrusion of sin in our fellowship with God the Holy Spirit, taking care of any other encumbrances, cleansing of the Holy Spirit, that we might have fellowship with Him and therefore be empowered throughout our soul for the understanding of the Word of God. Let's prepare ourselves a few moments in prayer. Father, how grateful we are once again for the wonderful privilege that we have this evening to assemble ourselves with other believers who are like-minded, believers who were saved by grace, just as we were, believers who go through the angelic conflict, each having their particular area of testing and suffering, challenge, prosperity, and blessing. It's so imperative that we understand that we have all been saved by the same grace, that we are all in the body of Christ, and that each is going to be tested and tried different periods, different ways, that we might understand the impact of all of this corporately and individually. We dedicate the next few moments to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16 says, you don't need to turn, I just want to read to bring us into the momentum of our study. Ezekiel 34:16, I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them judgment. I will feed my flock at the rich grass. I will feed the fat and the strong judgment. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, walks in darkness, and has no light of your own? Let that one who realizes that he is weak and has no light and walks in darkness, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Verse 11 deals with the strong. Behold, all you who kindle your own fire, you encircle yourselves with firebrands, you walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Now we are dealing with the freedom to be weak before God. We are therefore dealing with the great issue of the angelic conflict. And the great issue of the angelic conflict, once again, people, is a matter of power. And the matter of power, it's a power struggle. In other words, which power are you going to tap into? The power of God, the power of Satan. Now, we can talk about the power of the flesh, in other words, of your own. But basically, that's tied up with the ruler of this world. It comes down to a great issue of the power struggle. Now, God is going to demonstrate His power in this power struggle of the angelic conflict. God is going to demonstrate His power, His omnipotent power, His sovereign power. He's going to demonstrate it, all right, but He's going to demonstrate it through the weak. He will not demonstrate it through the strong. The strong don't need it, in their opinion. They can handle their own salvation, or if they are believers, they can handle their own life. They can apply, they can work, and they can produce. They do not need His power. If you do not need God's power, therefore He will not demonstrate through you. But to the weak, through the weak, to allow Him, God is going to demonstrate His power. Now, You have to realize, people, that so many of the circumstances, not the intensity and not the sphere of issue, but the circumstances that causes David to cry out, that causes so many believers to hurt, are the same circumstances that unbelievers have to go through, and that believers who do not want to call upon the power of God also go through. They go through the same problems, and they make it. Now, how do they do this? Sometimes you and I don't know how I'd have made it without Bible doctrine. I don't know how I would have made it without the Holy Spirit. I don't know how I would have made it without the compassion of God. So how in the world, then, if we don't know how we'd make it, how do these people, the unbelievers and many believers, how do they make it if they do not rely on the power of God the Holy Spirit? People, they make it through the energy, the power, let's use the word power, the strength of the flesh. Self-determination. Strong self-will. And we admire that in America. We have grown up admiring people who are knocked down and come back in the fourth quarter out of just sheer grit, grind, blood, sweat, tears, and make it. And that's how they do it. This sheer determination, self-will, energy of the flesh, self-discipline, strongly self-disciplined, friendship support, family support, or they go into the area of drugs, alcohol. That's another way they get through all of this. They just rely on substances. They rely on the energy of the flesh. They rely on cosmic power, cosmic solutions, cosmic thinking, all types of gimmicks that you can play with yourself. When things are going bad, go bake a chocolate cake type of cosmic thinking. When things are going bad, change your environment. Go buy something. Go do this. Go take a walk through the shady trees. All kinds of cosmic type of thinking that they put together that's going to work. And what is so amazing, people, it works. This power structure that they use, it actually works. It's a power structure. They make it through a lot of things in life through sheer self-discipline and determination. Good old American know-how. Stick with it. Rise back up. Get knocked down. Get back up. Human cosmic thinking. Think pleasant thoughts. Do this. Get into a rigid workout program. Get your body in shape. Read a good book and be around people. Go dancing every night. Do something. All of these power systems, they work. That's why it's a power struggle, people. That's why it's a struggle. Which power system are you going to go on when you are in this condition? When you have been brought to this point of weakness, which power way are you going to go here? Which power structure are you going to lean on? Now, the issue again is not just making it. The issue is making it under the power system that you're going to choose. It isn't making it through the hurt, the pain, the tears, the divorce, the financial problem, the physical problem, through your death of someone, through divorce, your divorce, divorce of your parents, 101 things. This isn't a matter of making it. There's an alternate power system out here that you can rely on, people. But that's not the point. The point is you. Which power system are you going to rely on when you are at that point, when God is dealing with you at that point? is not getting through it, but getting through it under God's power system. Getting through it where you see God's marvelous grace. Where you see God's power. Now that's different. Now this is involved in the angelic conflict. You are now going to see, when you are brought to this point, if you go for the power system provided by God, then you'll see His grace. Then you'll see His power. But if you decide to go to that system, power system of the world, of Lucifer, then people, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see God's grace. And what is a great tragedy is that so often people go to Satan's solutions, and I'm talking about believers, and then they go, oh, isn't God wonderful? Oh, is He? Did you rely on Him? Or did you rely on human power? Human thinking? And now that you feel good, isn't God wonderful? But was He the one that you went to for the power? Is He the one that gave you His grace and His power in the midst of that torment and hurt and pain? But an issue of going through and seeing God's grace and seeing God's power, getting through it, glorifying God in His great power struggle that we're all involved in as born-again believers. In the Word of God, in weakness, you have the greatest opportunity of your life. Now here's your opportunity of turning your weakness into strength. Turning your weakness into power. Or, so here you are at this point of weakness now, and you have, let's let a big W here, and this W is now the great issue, your weakness. You can turn it into strength by going to the power system of God, or you can turn it into failure by going to the power structure offered by the world. The decision's up to you. The decision is up to you as to which way you're going to go now. You've been brought to the point of weakness. Whether it's by sin isn't the issue. Whether it's God dealing with you by sending a demon loose, that's not the issue. The issue is, what are you going to do now? Go in towards Satan or go towards the power system that is provided by God? Now, when you hurt and when you're in your weakness, as Paul and David and Job, your desire may be like that of David and Paul and Job. You may, in the midst of this weakness, you may desire, as these men did, you may desire the plan of God, the will of God. But so help you God, you don't know what it is. You're so weak and so miserable, you don't know what the will of God is in the midst of all the things that are occurring. Or, and here's a kicker for you, or you may not desire the will of God. Now what about that? What about the born-again believer brought to this point who does not even desire at this point the will of God for their life and where they are? What about that believer? What about when we reach the point that I don't even desire the will of God in this torment in my life? We're going to cover that condition in this study. I think it's going to surprise some of you. Now, most of all, what we desire in this point, most of all, we desire for this hurt, this pain that David talked about, and Paul, and Job, whom we really didn't study, this pining in the soul, the melting of the bones. Most of all, if we're honest, we desire for this to just go away. That's what we all desire at this point, that it will just go away. But for the life of us, we can't make it go away. And this is the kicker right here. This is where a lot of believers are today. For the life of me, I can't make the hurt. I can't make the pain. I can't make the miserable circumstance of my life, married, single, poor, sick, whatever it may be, I can't make it go away. So we'll just put, I can't make it go away. It just stays, and that's what we really want. We just want the pain to go away. We want the pining to go away. But I can't make it go away, and the more I try to make it go away, the more it just keeps coming back. And I tried prayer. I prayed until I blew in the face, like David. I cried out to God all night in the middle of the night, and it just seems like he doesn't hear. And I try everything, but I can't make it go away. I've even tried sin to make it go away. I've tried the bona fide things. I've tried prayer. I've tried the saint doctrine, but that just doesn't pull it through. I can't make the hurt and the pining and the horrible circumstances go away. I just can't make them go away. Now put this in your notes and in your soul. You can't. He must. You can't do that. Therefore, God must. And right there is the fight. Right there, people, is the battle. We can't. He must. You cannot handle it. You cannot make the pain go away. You cannot make the marriage work. I have tried for year after year to make this thing work. It will not work. No matter what I do, he keeps fighting me. She keeps fighting me. I can't make it work. I can't get the job down. No matter what happens, I keep getting knocked down. Establishment is indeed unfair. And I just don't seem to be able to make it. I can't get over the disease. I can't get over the circumstances in my life. Every time I think I see a light in the tunnel, indeed it turns out to be a train coming right at me. I can't make it work. I just can't get these things to straighten out. I can't even make myself love this man I'm married to, this woman I'm married to. Can't even do that. These children, parents, eh? I can't submit. The man says, I know I'm supposed to love. I can't love her. She fights every inch of the way. The woman, I can't submit to this guy. I'm married to the wrong man. I'm married to the wrong woman. And you just can't be happy if you stay in that. You cannot be happy staying in a marriage where you're married to the wrong person. God cannot make it work. Amen. You misunderstood me. This is what this person's saying. I'm here to tell you, you don't know God. You don't know the power of God. And the condition of the body of Christ as we close the 20th century, and the reason you don't see much power in the close of the 20th century, people, because we're not turning it over to God. We're trying to do it ourselves. I'm here to tell you, you can't do it. You got yourself in a bad jam, marriage, work, finance, health. You can't make it work. You haven't come up with any great revelation. I can tell you that right up front. You cannot make it work. It's hopeless and helpless. You cannot make it work. And now you're at a great place. Now you're ready to find out if you're willing. By faith, you're getting ready to find out the power of God. We don't see much of the power of God today because we don't wait long enough We don't rely on it. We don't wait on it. That's why you don't see that many people even accepting the gospel. Don't want it to be that way. I've got to add. I've got to work. I've got to do something for it. You cannot make it work. You cannot forgive. You cannot forgive your parents. You cannot forgive your spouse. You cannot forgive that person who hurt you deeply, solely. You cannot forgive them in the power of the flesh. No matter how many people tell you, forget it and move on, you cannot do it. You cannot make these things happen that so many Christians in the body of Christ, born-again believers, are being devastated by, and their soul torn all which way. And we know of no other solution but human, no other power but the flesh. And it doesn't work, and there's no other power source that can make it work. I've tried everything, it can't work. I'm here to tell you, you have not tried everything. I'll support that. I'll support that with Scripture. You stick with me to the end of this study. But I want you to understand the strength and the depth of this teaching. You cannot make it work. You cannot forgive in the power of the flesh. You cannot make yourself submit when you don't want to. You cannot make yourself love when she does everything to fight it, when he does everything to abuse that submission, when you've done everything you can do to get up and do something in the work world. I don't know. There's so many areas that God uses in David and Job and Paul that I know I'll miss some of you. But these are the area, major areas in the area of very intimate relationship, of marriage or romance, the work world, the spiritual, directly spiritual, the angelic conflict, Satan buffing us. People, you can't do it. And that's why there are two power sources offered to you when you reach that point. And the issue is, which power source are you going to apply? You cannot change the circumstances. You cannot cope with them. And now this is exactly where God has allowed you to come, to the point that you realize you can't, he must. You're at a wonderful place. The struggle in your soul is not, now get this in your notes, the struggle in your soul is not the circumstances that hurt. The struggle is not the circumstances that hurt. The struggle is turning to God. The struggle is relying on Him. That is the struggle. The struggle is not with one's spouse, not with one's lover, not with one's financial or work conditions, not with one's life circumstances. That isn't the struggle. The struggle in the church age is relying on God, relying on divine power, receiving God's grace when we hurt. Now, this is the battle. This is where the fight is. Believers who are in pain now are going to fight the battle. Are you ready to rely on Him? We can't. He must. And this, in turn, in so many circumstances of our life, is where we have to decide where we're going to go for this great help. I want to read you something at this point, and you're going to hear me read it again in this study later on as we continue the book passages we're going to look at. But it just seems this is a place, the first time for you to hear this. I want to read you a few lines from Lewis Berry Schaefer's book, He That Is Spiritual. In my opinion, the classic work on the spiritual life. He that is spiritual, pastor after pastor. Many of you have or do study Bob Thune, under Bob Thune. This was his teacher in the area of spirituality. This man has been the teacher of many in the modern era in dealing with spirituality. Almost every really good spiritual book on spirituality today, you'll see in the credits, the bibliography Lewis Berry Schaefer referred to. And let me read this to you. Concentrate. It's difficult sometimes to concentrate when people are reading something else, but it's very brief. Quote, "The fight of faith is that of continuing the attitude of reliance upon the Spirit. To those who walk with God, there is often a door into fellowship with the Father and with His Son, and into a life of fruit-bearing and service with every spiritual manifestation to the glory of God. The fight of faith is the great issue." This is where we have to turn, is to this power source. Now, they knew this in the Old Testament. Turn with me now to Zechariah. Where in the world is Zechariah? Please look it up in the table of contents. Zechariah. Near the end of the Old Testament. You can find Matthew, put it in reverse, and you'll find Zechariah. And please turn to Zechariah 4. Turn to Zechariah 4. His very name breathes grace. The name Zechariah, if you see the I-A-H at the end, Jehovah, and Zachar comes from the word remember, it means God remembers. That's what his name means. And it's too bad that we as believers in Christ do not remember. And therefore God has to bring us to our knees occasionally. Now chapter 4, concerning the building or the rebuilding of the temple, the original temple destroyed because the Israelites were too strong. They didn't need God. They didn't need the temple. They were so strong, and therefore it was taken away from them in judgment, and they were sent into captivity. They have now returned from captivity, and Zechariah is written in that respect. This is concerning the rebuilding of the temple from their exile. Now, there are two leaders. One is a great name for your dog, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is one of the leaders. He is the political leader. I tell you that because his name's coming up in what I want to look at. The high priest is Joshua. So we have Zerubbabel, and he is the political leader. And Joshua is the high priest. Theirs is the responsibility to get this building built. Now, people, get it in your mind. They are simply having too much trouble and opposition in getting this temple built. They are discouraged. They are despondent. The temple is not being built, and that they know is required of God. They know it. This is not a matter of man wanting to do man's will. This temple is by God to be built. So they are doing something that is absolutely in the will of God, and it isn't getting done. And they're trying. And they are now discouraged and despondent to the point of despair that they cannot get this accomplished. So we come to verse 6, which God tells them the only way this temple is going to get built, the only way anything is going to get accomplished. Now this, look at me a moment, this is Old Testament. It's very important. It is Old Testament, not Church Age. Old Testament. And what is going to be said is to be applied at this time, not over here, but right here in the rebuilding. To be applied right here so that Zerubbabel can get that temple built. Now look what he says in verse 6. And the angel, Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord." This is Christ speaking. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Repetition of whose words these are. People, does it make any sense? Does it make any importance to you what Christ has to say? This is now attributed to the Lord twice. Look at it. The word of the Lord. And at the end, says the Lord of hosts. So let's make no doubt about it. This refers to the teaching, the declaration by Christ. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. This is the only way you are going to get this temple built, Zerubbabel. It will not be built by your determination. It will not be built by you having guards stand for the opposition, against the opposition. It is not going to be built by all of your efforts, by planning committees, by multitude of workers. It is not going to be built by your will, your desire. There's only one way this is going to be built, Zerubbabel. There's only one way my temple is going to be built. And that's by my spirit. And if it isn't by my spirit, I want to tell you something, Zerubbabel. It is not going to be built. That's the only way. It's mine. I put in parentheses here so you'll follow me. You belong to God. And the only way you are going to get things done, since you belong to God, you are not your own, you have been purchased with a price. The Holy Spirit abides in you, making you a temple. And the only way things that are going to get done are going to get done is by my Spirit. All your might, all of your power, no. By my Spirit. This is the only way you're going to get this temple built. This is the only way you are going to pull out of all of the dilemma. This is the only way you're going to pull out of your weakness. This is the only way you're going to get accomplished what you simply are too weak to accomplish. Zerubbabel and all believers in the church age, this is the only way. This is the only way you're going to love when you prefer to hate, to forgive when you prefer revenge. This is the only way you're going to be able to put a marriage together, to pull a single life together, to pull dilemmas and circumstances of life together, and you can try and you can go as much as you want by the power of the flesh and the might of the flesh, you're not going to get it done. Just know that right up front, people. It will end in divorce. It will end in sorrow. It will end in hurt. It will end in misery. It will end in failure. It being whatever you try to do by the energy of the flesh. You can count on it. Just know that right up front, you will fail. You can play all the gimmicks and all the games to make that marriage work, to get this business deal in, to get these people to like you, to get this person to marry you, to get this thing worked out financially, to get this done physically, disease of the body, and do all of these things. People, you are a rare breed. You're the temple. You belong to God. You belong to God. And there's only one way you're going to get these things done. And the reason we don't see it is because people still won't rely on the Holy Spirit. they will not be loud. I know what I ought to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to work. I'm going to work. And I tried everything. No, you haven't. I'll come to it. This is the only way. Not by power, not by strength, but by my spirit. Many believers are at the point of their lives. They prefer to believe has reached this point. And it's just total despair. It's been wearing you down. You've been working at it, just like Zerubbabel. You've been working at it. They've been at it for 16 years. I've been at this marriage 15 years. I've been at this life. I've been at this person. I've been at this problem. And I've worked at it. And I've tried. I've applied doctrinal principles. I know what doctrine says. I've tried this and I've tried that. I've tried what all the books tell me to do. The books say do this, and Bible doctrine says do that, and I work at it, and I can't get her. I cannot warm her. I cannot turn his coldness off. I can't get this done. I can't get that done. I can't forgive my parents. I can't forgive these people. And how I've tried to forgive, and how I've tried to work at it, I have tried all of these things. Now it doesn't work. And now I'm weary, and now I'm tired. And it's time now to jump. It's time now to bail out of all of these dilemmas. It's time now to go to the cosmos and just find some other solutions. Try to substantiate it with some, get some approval in the Bible, get some approval of preacher. If I can just get a preacher that will approve of what I want to do, just get a preacher to approve, and me, I'm not saying, this is where I get into trouble. I'm going to say, if I can just get a preacher to say it's okay to file bankruptcy. Now, someone sitting here or someone on a tape who got a bankruptcy, and now they're all going to react. Don't react. Please, under the Holy Spirit, just listen. Try to understand what I'm teaching. But all we need to do, let's just find some pastor. Some pastor somewhere. Gotta be one somewhere. Who will tell me it's all right to get the bankruptcy, get the divorce, do anything short of murder. If I can just find one, then I've got biblical validation for my cosmic solution. I can just find that. And you'll find it. Because this is a horrible place. Please understand, people. This is a horrible place, and I know it. You've just never been there. You've never hurt like that. You don't know what it's like to be there. You don't know if I know it or not. But I'll tell you what I do know. I do know what the Word of God says. And I know the hurt. And I know the pain. And I know the crying all night. I read about David pining. His bones are waxing inside of him. His bowels are hanging on the ground. People, that's got to be pain. I'm ready to just quit. There's something wrong with me, and I need some other cosmic solution. I hear the word other than God. I've tried all of that. I tried it. I prayed till I cried all night long. But this is when people desire to jump, to leave, and to desert. This is when you want to go to that alternate power. To that alternate power system. And I hope that I have the ability to communicate in this special. The issue in the angelic conflict, one of the primary issues, is the power struggle. The mighty and the mightier. The mighty one, Lucifer, the mightier man, Jesus Christ. We either believe it or we don't, people. Those are either nice words we can say when we're on top, but when we're down on bottom, they don't count. Because I dearly need what the mighty one, Lucifer, can offer in the cosmic solution. I can see it. And that's really what I need. But when I'm back on top, I'll talk about the mighty man, the mightier one, Jesus Christ. This is the great issue, the power struggle. What are you going to do? People, you're at a great point in life, at this point in your life, when you have to make this decision. Got to do anything except rely on the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how many believers with doctrine do not believe the Holy Spirit can do what they cannot do. And this amazes me. We reach a point, I do not believe that the Holy Spirit of God can do, will do what I can't. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit can just supernaturally change my spouse. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit can just supernaturally come in and change my soul. I don't believe that. I believe it takes this and that and all and many other things. I do not just simply believe that the Holy Spirit can do it. And when you reach that point, that you just really do not believe the Holy Spirit can do it, I got news for you. He won't. You've made your decision on the power system. You've made your decision in the angelic conflict. No, wait a minute. No. You want to talk about it or not? You want to talk about an angelic conflict? Then don't build our rules. Oh, I believe in this great conflict and all, but, no. If we're going to go to the Bible, understand the power struggle, people, then let's stay with the Bible. Let's don't jump ship. Let's don't change where we want it to fit. We are in a power struggle. God, Lucifer. The mighty one, Lucifer, has his power system, and it is amazing throughout all of church history, throughout all history, what Satan offers and how subtly we go into it. As opposed to the power system that is offered and provided graciously by God. But it's amazing how many believers do not believe the Holy Spirit can do the impossible. Or I'll tell you what, to get this white woman I'm married to change, it's going to be the impossible. But I'll tell you what, to get me going in life after all of the lousy mistakes that I've made, and I'm already pushing a rough age, it's going to take a miracle. What's he going to do? Make me 30 all over again? You know, it's just growing old. And it's just, it's beyond the age of point of miracle now. People, let me go through major examples for you right here. It's not in my notes. Just seems like what to do right now. There are points that pull this in. Abraham, when Abraham was told he was going to have a son, he was 99. The sexual organs of his body were dead as a doorknob. Deader. You want a hopeless condition? There it is. Lazarus is dead. Dead. D-E-A-D. Not just almost. Dead. In a grave, 3 days, the body is already decomposing. Now, is that hopeless enough for you? Do you remember what our Lord did? Come on out, Lazarus. Come on out. What I'm trying to show you is, people, he's demonstrated. Mary, don't you understand? I love you, Mary, and there's nothing impossible for me. He's already dead. Mary, you're not listening. You're not listening, Mary. There's nothing impossible for me. Yeah, but see, Mary. Lazarus, come and kill Mary. You see what I'm saying, people? I know your life reaches that point, but it's impossible. Not even the Holy Spirit. How little is your God? How little is he? How big is he? What do you know about how he behaves? Is a God big enough to call Lazarus from the dead? Well, yeah, but he ain't going to do that anymore. You've already jumped on him. You've already jumped on him. You're not thinking about him. We don't believe the Holy Spirit can do it. We simply don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, people, it won't happen. You go to the other power system, you'll never see it. We try by our strength, by our power, to execute the plan of God, to build the temple, to apply the doctrine, to make things work. And when our strength fails and our power will not get it done, then guess what? If I can't do it with all that I've done after all these years and all the work, it can't be done. We simply refuse to rely on the power that is provided by God. I look at the verse, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Now, when you reach this point in total weakness, where you're too weak to build and to do it, this, now get this in your notes and in your soul, this is the greatest freedom in the world. Freedom. Freedom. I'm tore apart. This is the greatest freedom in the world. Now let me explain why. You've already experienced this once at the cross. When you set yourself free of all your effort, then what happened? When you set yourself free, when you said there's nothing I can do, and you set yourself free, you established the freedom, I can't do anything, you realize what you did then? You set yourself free now to do what? To believe on Jesus Christ. You've now released yourself, see? Once you've decided, you've set yourself free of all effort, of all work, of depending on you and what you do. What happened when you and I did that? What happened when we set ourselves free of all effort, of all power, all strength, all religion, all things? What happened with you and I at that point? At that point, we were now free to rely totally on Jesus Christ and His work. That was the greatest freedom in the world. You've already been there, people. You've already been. Now, you may not have been crying like you are now. You may not have struggled as you are now. Some of you, I'm sure, have. I did. I accepted Christ crying. Great, great fear. Maybe you didn't. But what you did do, you set yourself free. Free of any effort on your part. And what did that freedom give you the freedom to do? Set you free to believe on Him. I'm now free of all my own work. I'm now free to believe on Him. I am now free to rely on Jesus Christ. It's the greatest freedom in the world. It is the greatest freedom to be free of your own strength, your own power, your own thinking, your own morality, your own works, your own effort. It's the greatest freedom in the world. I'm free of all of that. And now I'm free, being free of this, having set this burden aside, I'm now free to lean totally on Him. I'm now free to rely totally on Jesus Christ. It's the greatest freedom in the entire world. When you set yourself free of trying to make things work, get people to do what you want, when you set yourself free of trying to be a spiritual giant, when you set yourself free of trying to remove the hurt and the pain in your soul and in your body, when you set yourself free from all of that, the greatest freedom in the world, because now you're free to rely on His Spirit. Now you're free to rely on His power. Therefore, principle, this is the greatest freedom. For now you are ready for God to act in your life. You set yourself free of you trying to do it. Free to allow God to allow God's power to flow through you. You are now free to allow God's power to flow through you instead of all that hurt and pain of the soul and body flowing through your soul and body. Now the power of God can freely flow through your body. That's a biblical word I'll give you later. The Holy Spirit to flow. You are now allow God's power to freely flow through your soul and body, and people, unbelievable things can happen now in your life. See, here's the soul. We'll just put a circle with all of the compartments that we have studied for the soul. Here's the soul. Those of you who understand the concept, stream of conscience, all of these things. But when you free yourself of trying to do something, and the Holy Spirit can now flow through both soul and body, because He's in the body also, can now flow through both soul and body, people, now you are ready to see the most unbelievable things happen inside of your soul. This is a great issue in regard to the power source. No longer is that pain flowing through that David talked about. No longer is the pining flowing through every compartment of the soul, memory center, vocabulary, categories, frame of reference. Boy, when the pining of the hurt goes through all of these compartments of the soul, it is horrible, and it overflows into the body, and the body is weakened. But now you set yourself free of trying to deal with all of that, and now the Holy Spirit flows through. And now you are ready to watch some unbelievable things that happen in your life. You cannot do it, but He can. And one reason we do not see the power of the Holy Spirit at the close of the 20th century is because very few believers really believe it'll work and then allow it to happen by relying on the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're now studying in this local church. Here are the principles. Freedom to be weak before God leads to freedom to be strong in the Lord. Freedom to be weak before God leads to freedom to be strong in the Lord. Freedom to allow His power, the Holy Spirit, to flow through you and do things, accomplish things, you simply could not do. But He can. Freedom to be weak leads to freedom to be strong. Now the great issue, as Lewis Berry Capers has pointed out, do you believe it? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what God says about the Holy Spirit? Now look at verse 6 again. Look at verse 6. Then He answered and said to me, "This is the Word of the Lord." All right. This is the Word. This is the Word. The Word, Bible, doctrine. This is the doctrine. Here's the doctrine now. This is the Word of the Lord, the doctrine, to Zerubbabel, saying. Now, this is God's Word. This is the speaking of Christ. This is Bible doctrine, and Bible doctrine says, people, that this is what doctrine says. Doctrine says that it is a person. It is a person inside of you. It is a person inside of you. That's what doctrine says. This is what the Word of the Lord says. To confirm it, look at the end of it. Look at the end of verse 6. The end of verse 6 says, the Lord of hosts. This is what he has to say. The Word of the Lord says the Lord of hosts. The Word of God, Bible doctrine says, a person inside of you. The person is the Holy Spirit. Personal relationship. Not your power, not your might, but the power of a person who is inside of you. All right, question. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is inside of you? This is the first thing you have to decide, outside of deciding whether or not you can believe the Word of God, believe Bible doctrine. The first thing you have to decide, do you believe that God, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, do you believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is in reality, not figuratively, not in some type of a metaphor, but that God, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, is actually, truly, really inside of you? Now, if we have any unbelievers of the secular world, I'm not crazy. I'm just coming at it from a different standpoint than you do. See how crazy this would sound to the unbelieving world. Go to some psychiatrist and try to tell them this. Now, there are Christian psychiatrists out there, I understand. But you just go to some of them and tell them this. Boy, I've got me a good one. Honey, order the swimming pool. We got it paid for. Do you believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you? That's the first thing. That's the first thing you have to decide. Do you believe that He is inside of you? Now, the second question. Why is He there? Do you believe that He is inside of you to give you power? To empower you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that He is inside of you for a powerful purpose? Do you believe that He can accomplish things inside of you, in your soul, in your life, that otherwise cannot be done? These are things you have to decide at this point in this great struggle. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit... And people, when I say, do you believe? Well, I mean, it's believe to where it makes a difference in your life. Do you believe it so that you're ready to act on it? That's what I'm talking about in faith here. Do you believe that Christ died for your sins, rose from the dead, so that you could be saved by believing in Him? Yes. Do you believe? Yes. Now, this is the second aspect of your life. Do you believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you? And that He is inside of you to empower you to do things that you could not do without Him. Now, I can't answer that for you. I can't answer that. You've got to answer this yourself. This is a great struggle. And we have a lot of tension with the Holy Spirit because of the charismatics. People, I'm not going to let the charismatics stop me from teaching you truth. I'm not frightened of the truth of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are, then that's something you're going to have to work out. I am not going to allow them to intimidate me not to teach you the truth. Now, they turn it into something that it isn't. It's my job to teach you what it is. And the first thing you have to do, do you believe that He's in there? And do you believe that He's in there for a purpose of power? Or did He get there? And it really isn't a matter of fellowship. I found a verse yesterday. See, when I'm doing this, there's so many verses I have to study. Some I have to set aside. We won't use in this study. I remind you, this is going to be a one-night thing. I found a passage yesterday that I'm going to end this with. And I can't tell you how I'm holding back giving it to you tonight. But you've got to make your decision. Do you believe He's there and He's there for power purposes? He's there to do things. Him, do things inside of you that you simply cannot do. People, if you don't believe that, if you believe you have to do something like the unbeliever does at the cross, if you believe you have to add, if you believe, well, I've got to do this and that, then you don't understand spirituality. You don't understand, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. You're like the unbeliever at salvation. And people, it's so easy for the unbeliever to rationalize so many things. It's the easiest thing to be religious on the other side of the cross, the lost side of the cross. John MacArthur, who I believe is a born-again believer, I believe he believed in Jesus Christ by faith only and faith alone. But he's reacting to so many things in the world today that he says, now you got to do something. How easy that is. How subtle. People think I'm splitting hairs when I say, you can't even invite Jesus into your heart. That is not a synonym. That is not even implied anywhere in the Word of God. And yet we accept it. Because it lets me do something. It gives me merit. I invite you. And I might even say the words into my wretched soul. But I still invite you. People, we don't invite. We can't invite. We can only receive. We're dead. We can only receive life. Only receive life. I've got something coming up after we get somewhere along the line, grace and life, what God is really about. But that's another deal. But here you are. But I want you to understand is how easy it is and how subtle it is to just add something here, to put man somewhere in this. And when you do it, then you don't need him. And now over here on this side, we've got to realize, just as we realized it was Jesus Christ here, we've got to realize it's the Holy Spirit here and then God the Father in phase three in heaven. But you've got to have an understanding of the Holy Spirit here. What do you believe about him? Is it just doctrine in your soul and not reality? Has not all of the teaching on pneumatology, on the Holy Spirit, led you to personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid that if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to become charismatic? No, you're not. I'm not going to let you. If you stay here, I won't let you, because that's not true. If you're afraid that if I have a rapport and a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that I'll become an emotional moron? No. No. That's not spirituality. And the mechanical way is just as wrong. That is just all a mechanical thing. God help the person who's married to somebody, everything's mechanical. Sex. Point one, two, three, four. Nope. It's a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And you and I have got to understand that he's there, he's in us, and he's in us for a purpose. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are. The grace that you have given to us, beginning at the cross. What a gracious God you are, Heavenly Father, that you care enough about us to bring us to the point of total weakness that we might see our total dependency upon you. That we might see your grace and your power. That we might see your love. Your compassion, your comfort, your mercy. It is our purpose, Heavenly Father, in this power struggle that's going on in a conflict that we find ourselves. To draw and to tap in the power source that is provided by you in grace. That Heavenly Father, we might fulfill our individual purpose and reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.